You are listening to the podcast of Frontline Ministries International. We pray you will be empowered as you listen to this week's message.
We will feast our eyes on the one. Who is our total confidence? Who is our sustainer? Who is the glorious one? Who is the one who's coming back? Who is the mighty God? Who is the Prince of Peace? Who is our El Shaddai? This is our God, Jesus Christ. In the book of Revelation in chapter 1, before John was actually given the entire vision as the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a setting up where the triune God, that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is mentioned and is actually spoken about. I just love this. It says, John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. Yeah. And he has made us to be a kingdom priest to his God and Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Verse 7 in chapter 1. Behold, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. So, Father, we just give you praise this morning, and we thank you, Lord, that we can exalt your holy name in our free country. We thank you, Father, that we live here under the shadow of your wings, and in you we find rest. In you we have hope. In you, you give us courage. You give us strength. For you are the mighty, mighty Savior of the universe. And we thank you, Father, that you did not come into the world to judge the world, but you came in to redeem the world, as you tell us so beautifully in John 3:17. So thank you, Father, that this is a time where our hearts are being pricked and pruned to be able to lift our eyes to you and see you above all else. You know, I heard a reminder this week from someone who was speaking about the thoughts that are in our minds, and how every time we concentrate on something that is not heaven-bound, that is not exactly what Jesus would say is where our thoughts should be, that we're reminded that as we think, every time that thought comes in, if we replace that thought with thoughts of Jesus, over and over, not just one, not just two, not just 10, not just 20, but we set our mind and our gaze and our heart on things above, everything will change. Because, beloved, in this season, there are many, many, many things the enemy wants to try to do to get us off our game, get us off course, or keep us from even getting on course and joining the game. He's very busy. The enemy is not on pause, okay?
That's right.
So we've heard that the country maybe is in a pause place, but not the enemy. He's loving it. He's saying, okay, just stay away. This is good. I love it. Stay away. Just kind of pull back. Focus everything on COVID-19. Focus on the fact that there's unemployment. Focus on the lack of ability to be able to travel, or any kind of deadly pestilence and disease. Focus there. This is the enemy. And it's not to say that we don't want to be concerned about these things, or that we hide or bury our heads in the sand. But if our focus is there, the enemy has won. The enemy is not done. But the Lord says, I have won. The enemy is done. And he says, I'm calling you to recalibrate. I'm calling you to reset. I'm calling you to restructure. I'm calling you to the many breeze in this season, which bring us into a place of revival. Never thought about it that way before, actually, till just now. So God's wanting to revive us, brothers and sisters, all around the world, not just here in America, but those who are listening all around the world. The Lord says, I am breathing on you. I'm breathing into you. Just as John, in the book of John, in chapter 20 and 21, after Jesus came back, after he's raised from the dead, and he's speaking to his disciples. We spoke about this recently, and we preached about it even months ago, that Jesus came through walls, and he said, peace be still, peace be still, peace be yours. And he says, just as the Father has sent me, I have sent you. And these are two guys who were really afraid, and ladies, really afraid. The Roman Empire and the Jewish leaders at the time, this is a very scary, scary time for them. And they're trying to make heads or tails of what happened. Where's their leader? What happened to Jesus? Yes, he said he was going to die. Yes, he said he would come back. But did that really take root in their hearts? Probably not to the degree that he wanted that to. And so in that season, Jesus said to his followers, peace be still. Just as the Father had sent me, I send you. And you know, when they received that mandate from the Lord and he breathed the Holy Spirit into them right at that time, the Lord said, this is where we're going to start. So even though we're in lockdown, COVID-19, all the things that are going on and swirling around the world, the mandate hasn't changed at all. The Great Commission is not on pause at all. There is nothing that's stopping God's people from taking the gospel to the four corners of the earth. Maybe the way will look a little different right now, but just look at this as an opportunity to be stirred up in your holy faith, or to come on board and join where the disciples joined in when they had to hear, just as the Father has sent me, I send you. This is the heartbeat of every prophetic voice around the world. This is the heartbeat of everyone who has a stirring for evangelism. This is the heartbeat, or should be the heartbeat, of every Christian, of every believer. And God wants us to be able to capture that vision, to be able to know that this is where we're supposed to be. This is our call from God.
Yes, Lord.
This is what we were made for and designed for. The enemy wants to lull us into complacency. He wants to lull us into just kind of, okay, I'm going to circle the wagons around my four walls. I'm going to protect myself and my loved ones and stay there. That's not the heart of the Lord.
No.
He wants us to be concerned, to take a look at those around us, but he says go, and he says go out, and he says I'm going to take you to the highways and the byways, and you're going to see the lost and the broken and the hurting. And if you're feeling lost and broken and hurting right now, we're going to pray for you, and we're hoping that people listening today, that they will be stirred up in their most holy faith and reach out to you.
Yes, Charles.
Let us know, even online right
That's
now,
right.
What is your need? How can we help you? How can we serve you? What
yes.
is it that you
yes.
long for?
Yes,
what can we? How can we partner and be the hands and the feet of the Lord for you right now?
Let us know.
And for those who are going to be watching this later, this is the call, beloved. Our eyes and our face, as they're focused above, they have to go outside of our sphere of comfortability. This is the time to count the cost, pay the price. I mean, the Apostle Paul was all about that. He wasn't about his own comfort, his own convenience. And he was in joy. He's laughing. He's in joy while he's suffering.
That's it.
And that's our call. It really is. And anything less than that leads us into a place of discouragement, leads us into a place maybe even of deception, and it could lead us into a place of destruction. That's not what God has. He says, even in the midst of this, look up, I know what I'm doing. Look up, I've not left you alone. Look up, I'm in that fiery furnace with you. Look up, there is an answer. And wherever we are in the United States, you know, sometimes there's many places are hit more than other places with COVID-19. If you focus yourself only on the news, it'll become bad news. It's very, very difficult to encourage yourself. It's very difficult. So we know what's going on. We're abreast of things. We have prophetic ears and prophetic voices to understand.
That's right.
But I want to be like the sons of Issachar, who understood the times and knew what God was doing. That's what he's calling for right now, beloved. He's saying, this is the time. This is the time. I'm calling out and I'm looking for the sons of Issachar. I'm looking for those who say, God, what are you doing? What's happening? What are the times that we're in? And I'm all in. Count me in. Just as we're running naturally to try to build ourselves up physically, that's a good thing. But that's a natural natural thing to lead us to the supernatural.
Yes.
And the Lord says, this is a time of great endurance so that you will be able to be strong for what's coming.
Because right.
we're on the precipice of the greatest revival
Amen.
Ever in
That's
the history
right.
of Christianity. Yes, this is a time where the Lord is preparing our ships and setting sails to go to the highways and the byways, four corners of the earth. And the Lord's saying, start right here in your own Jerusalem, but then move.
Yes.
You move, you don't stay. It doesn't say Jerusalem only. The Bible says Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.
Yes.
That's
yes.
for all of us. That's the call, beloved. That's the call where the presence of God rises up so strongly that if we start making excuses to that, the Lord will deal with us in his loving, kind, fatherly, pruning way. Because
right.
he's calling the children, rise up.
That's
he's
it.
Calling the adults, rise up.
Yeah.
He's calling people to stand in the miraculous for the supernatural. Because that's what he's done for us. He says, that belongs to you. Let me encourage you. Trauma has a voice. I spoke that to someone I dearly love a week ago. I said, trauma has a voice. And that voice needs to be silenced.
Yes.
So the Lord's going to bring release and relief from trauma. Maybe the trauma of losing our job. Maybe the trauma of our past dealings in our own life, our own circumstances in the past. And maybe currently other losses that we've had or losses from the past. But in this time, beloved, I believe the Lord wants to set things straight. And he wants to bring us into healing. He wants to remove the trauma,
yes.
the effects of the trauma.
That's right.
If you've heard a voice that says, I'll always be this way, I'll always feel this way, it's a lie from the pit of hell.
That's right.
The Lord himself says, I make a way in the desert. I turn beauty into ash,
yes.
ashes into the beauty of God. I give beauty for ashes. He tells us that this, there is a way. So let us know online, how can we serve you? How can we help you? We have tender compassion for our brothers and sisters in India, Brazil, in Africa, all over the world. Without the pandemic here, I physically would be in India right now, but that's not happening. But that doesn't stop my fiery passion for the Lord Jesus Christ and what he can do there and how he can use little old me in that process. And he wants to use little old you. Because in him, the greater one lives on the inside. Greater is he who lives in you.
That's right.
Than who lives in the world. So we can say yes and amen to that. But the Lord's saying, just give me your heart. Let me show you how big I am. I had a verse here that just kind of touched my heart in Timothy. I want to read to you. And I believe this will help transition us into a time of communing with the Lord, of breaking bread together. We do this every time we get together. It's so amazing. And we're trusting that you all will do this at home as well. But we're enjoying this season from that perspective. But we're saying, Lord, what are you doing? We're not going to be in our living rooms like this the rest of the day. And the rest of the ends of to the ends of the time, I don't believe it at all. I believe the Lord is preparing us for what he's calling us to do. Yes, he is. Because we need to see each other. We need to hug each other. I need to look in your eyes. I need to tell you I love you. I care about you. Let's do this together. Okay? God understands it, but there are people who can't do that. And they're in prison. And Paul was one of those in chains. And there are many people. There's a high percentage of people, beloved, around the world. Between 60-70% of people around the world, they don't even have a Christian friend at all, let alone suffer intense persecution. Way beyond what we're seeing here in America. Way beyond. I am telling you, there are people, their biggest concern isn't even COVID-19. It's where am I going to feed, get my food for my kids today? I don't have a job. I don't have a roof over my head. I'm in the middle of a famine. That should concern us.
Yes.
Because it concerns Jesus. And it breaks the heart of Jesus. So it has to break our hearts. What are we going to do with that? It's time, beloved. It might be comfortable to sit out in the sunshine and have church out there and enjoy and sip iced tea and we're having church. That's okay. But that's the beginning. Because the Lord's saying, I'm arresting your heart. I'm after
yes.
your heart.
Yes.
And I'm calling you in this time to bend the knee to me and step out and do what's uncomfortable.
That's
step
right.
out and go places that are uncomfortable and do what you. Because
yes,
there were people lost and broken and hurting.
Yes, Lord.
He's really doing that. We were out in the streets on Friday night last week, and we were out before that. But there are people who are dying and going to hell. And the Lord will give us what's needed to be able to step in and be the hands and the feet in the right way.
Yes.
You can join us. I believe God's looking for those whose hearts are completely His. And He'll show Himself strong. And He's going to ravish the heart of those who really want to take this seriously, so seriously, they'll go anywhere to the ends of the earth. If that's you, we love you. If that's not you, we love you. But if you want to join up with us, let us know. Because we're not stopping.
No.
There is nothing that will stop.
No.
The resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Remember, distraction, anything that distracts us from the mandate of the Most High God, the Great Commission, God Himself, why Jesus came. Anything that distracts us from that, it's not from Jesus. Don't kid yourself. Don't be fooled. And there are many of us who could easily be led into deception to think that, you know, I'm comfortable. I'm okay. I'm enjoying all of this. Hey, enjoying all of this and having the joy of the Lord inside, two different things.
That's right.
And the Lord's saying, I'm going to produce joy in you, and it might be through suffering. We'll see what God does. So no more distraction, beloved. No more dissension. And discouragement, the minute the first thought comes, if you don't go after that with a vengeance, if you don't fight that as not a thought from the Lord, I am telling you, the enemy will go, yes, I've got someone. Keep going. Right after that boy, right after that girl, right after that child, right after that man and woman. Because the enemy says discouragement's your portion. And then surround yourself, protect yourself so that discouragement goes away. That's not your answer.
No.
Jesus is.
That's right.
Jesus is not all about discouragement. So listen to these verses in 2 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 1, sorry. Chapter 1 says, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, verse 7, but of power, love, and discipline. Now, some of you have heard that. Power, love, and sound mind. Sound mind enables us to be disciplined, even in the midst of things that are comfortable. We must take these thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ, because fear will hide itself through discouragement, through distraction, through deception, through many things. This is how fear is able to get us, let alone what we see in the midst of a pandemic and other ways physically. Chapter 2, be strong, you therefore, my son, this is to Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things that you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, without these to faithful men, who will be able to teach others also? In other words, take it up, Tim. Come on. You got to do it. And we're here to charge each other. Come on. Keep going. Verse 3. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier in Jesus. Verse 4. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life. Of course, we have to pay the bills and we have to feed the kids and we have to do those things. It's not talking about that. It's just talking about the affairs of the world here and calling it something else. Pay attention to the words of the scripture. They will so give you life, so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Again, a word to say, we're in a battle. This is a battle, not just for our health, not just for our rights as citizens in the state of Ohio, not just for our rights as people in America, okay? And I'm all about freedom, and I'm all about rights, okay? I am like that, for sure. But I'm telling you, any freedom that comes from God, we walk in it, and we take it, and we say, that's mine. And we ask God for the wisdom to do so. And we also say, Lord, you need to expose the fear that really captures me and moves me. I'm not okay. I'm hearing that could be hiding somewhere in me. See, this is a season where the Lord loves us so much. He's pruning us. He's disciplining us. That's wonderful from a good papa. Paul understood that so well. That's That's a good father. Verse 5. If anyone competes as an athlete, many of you out there might be frustrated. You can't get out, you can't go to the gym, you can't do this, you can't do that. I mean, you might be able to run outside or whatever. But this isn't about that. This is about endurance. So listen to this message here in verse 4. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. Come on. So this is kingdom talk today, beloved. We are talking kingdom. This is kingdom life, kingdom rules. Don't hide anymore. Don't hide. Look up and look around what God's showing. Don't use, well, I kind of have to be in my house as an excuse, because it can be. And the Lord knows the difference. Talk to him and listen to others as well who are connecting with kingdom heart of Jesus. Verse 6, the hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel. Verse 9, for which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned. The word of God in you is not imprisoned in your house as you're staying socially safe or whatever you're doing, okay? The word of God is not imprisoned.
That's right.
And those of you who might hear this message abroad, you may not hear it in prison, but you'll hear it eventually, one way or the other. It's the same. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's there to divide the joint and the marrow and to make known the will of God. And this is what he has for us today. And then finally, verse 10, for this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it, eternal glory. It says, for if we died with him, we will live with him. That means for him. Okay, it's not about our comfort. Don't focus there. It will wear you down. You will become weak. Your body parts will become weaker. The enemy will have a field day.
That's right.
There's a place of resistance that our bodies were designed to be able to work in, to be able to live in. And our minds too, okay? To be able to know the truth and live the truth, there has to be resistance.
Yes.
So we embrace the resistance, but we press on. And it concludes with this. If we endure, we will also reign with him. Wow. If we deny him, he denies us. Don't skip over that. If we deny him, he will deny us, because he has no basis. Because he loves us so much, he won't force us. Don't deny him, beloved.
No.
And don't deny this message.
No.
It's a powerful message. It's a message of love. But it's also a commissioning. Get up. Stand up. Don't get soft. Come on, keep a soft heart for Jesus, but don't be soft. I heard Eugene Bach say that from Back to Jerusalem.
That's right.
Says, don't get soft.
Don't get soft.
It's like, oh man. Okay, I'm hearing you, man. Let's be soft for Jesus, but let's be really tough in the area. Right? The toughness that says, not on my watch. Not on my watch. You won't have my family. You won't have my finances. You won't have my health.
No.
You won't have my body. You will not win.
No.
Not enough is enough. Not on my watch. So that's what we need to do to stand. It says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Wow. Be encouraged today. And those of you who have been weeping and crying, the Lord says, look up. I care about that. I care about you. And I want to bring relief. I want to bring restoration. I want to bring wholeness. And I want to bring healing. As Rachel comes up to lead us in communion, I believe that many of us are going to be healed. We're going to be restored. Our hope is going to be renewed. So let's just pray. Father, I just thank you for this word of life. And I thank you, Father, that you are so amazing, bringing us into your storehouse, into your place of worship, hope, and praise. And in you there is no discouragement. In you, no, there is no frustration. In you, there is no hopelessness. In you, there is no sickness. There is no disease. And there is no lack. God, we come to you and we come against the wickedness of hell, against every person here. And we push that darkness back in Jesus' name. And we release the light and the glory of God. Arise and shine, for your light has come. For darkness has invaded the earth, but the glory of the Lord has covered everything. And he says, this is our time to shine. So rise and shine, beloved. Rise and shine. This is your day.
Yes, God.
From the one who loves you most, Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Well, as we move into communion, our time of communion with the Lord is a time to receive from him and receive, connect with him, and to receive those blessings that he has given us. And it's all about him. Communion has nothing to do with what we've done, but has everything to do with what Jesus has done.
That's right.
What he did on the cross for us, what he's given to us. And so we just want to enter into this time of communion with just his praise on our lips and in our hearts, that we are just praising him for everything that he's done.
Yes, Lord.
And for who he is, and for forgiving our sins and bringing us into his family. And as we go into communion, it's a time for those who are connected with the Lord, are believers in him. And if that's not you today, just know that Jesus has made a way for you to enter into his family by dying on the cross for you and shedding his blood and rising again.
Yes.
He's made a way for you to enter into his family and to enter into every benefit that he gives us, everything that he like pours out on us. And so that's for you in your own place where you are. The Bible says if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and you confess with your mouth that he is Lord, you believe in your heart that he has raised from the dead, that you will be saved.
Yes.
So you that comes from your heart, comes from your lips. So that's for you to join in with us. And then as we just prepare to eat and to drink with him, I was given a word this morning that mirrors what Pastor Mary Cat was saying about that it's time to just step forward, to go on, to step up. And so it's in 2 Peter 1. And I was looking at this verse because we often know it by the verse about his great and precious promises that he's given to us. I was looking at it because when we're partaking of communion, Lord, what are those promises? You know, what is it that you have poured out on me? And as I was looking, I just saw more in it. So if you have your Bibles, you can open them to 2 Peter 1. Verse 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. That's what we're praising him for. That's what we get to rejoice and celebrate in today.
Yes,
his
Jesus.
Precious promises that he's given to us. That through these promises, we may be partakers of the divine nature. That the divine nature of God, we can step into that and we can have his life in us. We can have our sin forgiven and pushed aside, and we can step into the divine nature that we could never get to on our own. We could never experience of it on our own. But he has pushed aside and forgiven, pushed away our old nature, our old sin, and taken us into his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Then it goes on giving us a list of things that we are to add to our faith. So add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Now, if you're like me, you're like, wow, I got a few rungs to go up that ladder. But he says that if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That we're not going to waste this precious promises that have been given to us. We're not going to waste this divine nature, but we're going to let him increase inside of us so that we're able to be effective in this world through him. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. So today, as we go into communion, we want to remember that we were cleansed from our sins, that yes. We're not blind to that, we're not forgetting that, that He has cleansed us from our sins.
Thank you, Lord.
And he tells us to remember Him when we take this, to remember that and to step into that divine nature of His. And I know I've read a lot, but I want to read from the Message version the same thing. Sometimes it helps me to read it in a different version to understand more. And just listen and be blessed today as this call to action is given out and as we enter into his communion. So it says, "Grace and peace to you many times over as you deepen in your experience with God and Jesus, our Master. Everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God." That's the one who's inviting you. He's invited us to God. "The best invitation we ever received. We were also given absolutely terrific promises to pass on to you. Your tickets to participation in the life of God after you turned your back on a world corrupted by lust." We're invited by Jesus today. "So don't lose a minute in building on what you've been given, complementing your basic faith with good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline, passionate patience, reverent wonder, warm friendliness, and generous love, each dimension fitting into and developing the others." That takes away our rungs of the ladder, huh? They're fitting into and developing the others as we let the Lord increase us. "With these qualities active and growing in your lives, no grass will grow under your feet. No day will pass without its reward as you mature in your experience of our Master Jesus. Without these qualities, you can't see what's right before you, oblivious that your old sinful life has been wiped off the books." Thank you, Lord.
Yes, God.
"So friends, confirm God's invitation to you, His choice of you. Don't put it off. Do it now."
That's it.
"Do this, and you'll have your life on a firm footing, the streets paved and the way open, wide open, into the eternal kingdom of our Master and Savior, Jesus Christ."
Yes, Lord.
So, Father, as we celebrate communion today, Lord, we celebrate that invitation that you have given us, Lord, that we have accepted, Father, that you have put our ways, our feet, on a firm way, Lord, that opens up wide into your kingdom, Lord. That you said that we can partake with you in your divine nature. Lord, that we're not going to be unfruitful, Father, but that you are going to use us, Lord, in ways we can't even imagine,
yes.
Father God. Ways we can't see, Father.
That's right.
Ways we don't feel ready for, Lord.
Thank
but we
God.
Say yes, Father, because of you, because of your blood, Father, because you sacrificed yourself for us, Lord.
Yes.
We are not our own. We are bought with a price.
Yes.
So, Lord, we just celebrate. We enter into communion today with that in our hearts. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
There is no one else like you.
Yes, God. Yes, God. Wow, I think we've broken through some kind of a ceiling there in worship. Thank you, Jesus. We're becoming the warriors you want us to be.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise. We give you all the honor. We bless your name in this place and in your place. Jesus, wherever you are, you're at work. You're encouraging. You're developing your warriors in your army. And we will win because
Amen.
Of you.
Amen.
Yes, Jesus.
That's right.
We will win because of you, Jesus. Well, we've been talking about becoming warriors in this season of COVID-19 and this season on the earth. And I want to remind you that we've been talking about a completely conformed to the world warrior, which is Goliath. But the bigger they are, the harder they fall. We found that out in 1 Samuel 17. We talked about the compromised warrior, Saul, the carnal warrior. He starts strong, but is defeated by his own unaddressed issues. Saul had so many issues. He was raised so high, but he did not allow God to address his issues. He did not allow God to search his heart. We talked about the consecrated warrior in the person of David, the man or woman after God's own heart. Jesus makes up all the difference in their life. David was not a perfect person, but he had a heart for God, and he kept going after God. Psalm 51, he confessed his sins. Many places in Psalms, he started in such despair at the beginning of the psalm, and by the end of the psalm, he was receiving from the Holy Spirit, receiving from God everything he needed to stand as a warrior. We talked about Jonathan, the covenant warrior, in 1 Samuel 14. He's an armor bearer to God's anointed. He gives up building his own little kingdom to support the builders of God's kingdom. And then he ends up with armor bearers. That's the way it worked with Jonathan. He was willing to go after things because he had such a heart for God. He was in covenant with God, and he came into covenant with God's king, the one that God anointed to be king when he had the right to be king himself. He turned it down in order to serve God's anointed, David. That certainly is pertinent in this time, serving those that are going to the front lines and being there weaponized to win the battle for the kingdom, to expand the kingdom, and support those that have the vision, like Jonathan had the vision to charge up that hill. The armor bearer came behind him, do what's in your heart. And they defeated the enemy easily when they got to the top of the mountain, the top of the hill. Last time we talked about Gideon, the courageous warrior. He didn't have courage of himself. He was shaken behind the wine press, worried about the enemy seeing him doing the threshing of the wheat. But God, through a series of revelations to him and a series of merciful encounters with him, he gave him the courage. He was given courage by the fear of the Lord. He feared God, and so he ended up becoming courageous, becoming brave. His doubts were dashed. His doubts were destroyed. He had at least three or four times that he doubted God and expressed it, and God was merciful to him. Have we ever been in a situation where we doubt, we're in unbelief? We just need to repent of that and come into alignment with the fear of the Lord, and then we will have the courage. As he told Joshua, be of good courage. He commanded him to be of good courage, but he told him how it could be done. I will be with you always, in Joshua 1. The faith was fashioned in Gideon, we found out, in Judges 6, last time. Faith is a flame that the Father fans in us. He knows we have doubts. He knows that we struggle with unbelief. And he just fans the flame of faith. He fans the flame of faith in us. And he did it in Gideon. And we're going to see today how Gideon won the battle. You remember, he had a revelation with the angel of the Lord. Some think it was Jesus that came to him and called him an amazing warrior. He spoke that he was a mighty man of valor. Before Gideon was ever a mighty man of valor, it was spoken into him. And he went through a series of doubts in chapter 6 of Judges. The angel of the Lord continuing to bring revelation to him and encounter to him. And finally, he steps out into that courage that the Lord gave and tore down the idol of Baal and the wooden image that was beside it. The men of the city came against him. His father stands up for him and gives him a new name, which is Jerubbaal. Let Baal plead against him because he has torn down his altar. And his father basically said, if Baal's such a big shot, he should be able to come in and rescue his own altar. But he has no power, obviously. Verse 34 of chapter 6. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew the trumpet, and the Abiezrites gathered behind him. Remember, he blew the trumpet with such faith, with such fear of the Lord, and men and women were gathered to him to be part of his army. And we pick it up in chapter 7, verse 1. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Herod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. God does not want us to receive credit. It's not good for us to receive credit for winning battles. It has to be Him that receives the glory as we worship Him with that heart today. Now therefore, proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. God will carve down those that are not fearful and use them in his army. Those that are fearful are of no use in God's army. Keep that in mind. So if we're shaking in our boots and we don't come to a new place in faith of the fear of the Lord to receive the courage of the Lord to become that courageous warrior because of him, because of the Holy Spirit inside giving us that courage, then we're of no use in the battle. So it was carved down from 32,000 to 10,000. But the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And of whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink. And the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. But all of the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men whom lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. And again, he's brought a promise that he's going to win the battle. This isn't the first time. Let all the other people go, every man to his place. So the people took provisions and their trumpets in their hands. And he sent away all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent. and retained those 300 men. So from 10,000 down to 300. Do you want to be part of the 300 person army in this time of COVID? In this time of the expansion of the gospel across the earth? It's going to take some testing from God to bring it down to those that are really serious in becoming his warriors and being empowered by him. Now the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. It happened on the same night that the Lord said to him, "Arise, go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand." How many times does God have to say to us, "You've won the battle"? But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Purah, your servant. Guess what? He goes down as a spy first. God is so gracious to work with us, to build up our faith, to multiply the faith in us, to multiply the fear of the Lord in us. Verse 11, "And you shall hear what they say, and afterward your hands shall be strengthened to go down against the camp." Then he went down with Purah, his servant, to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. Now the Midianites and the Amalekites, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts. It could be very intimidating to look at COVID-19 and all the reports we're hearing. It could be very intimidating to think, how are we going to go out to the nations when there's been such an onslaught against the gospel being spread? And their camels were without number. Even their camels were without number. What they rode on, as the sand by the seashore in multitude. Beloved, don't be intimidated. God, plus whatever number there is a majority. Remember Jonathan charging up the hill. The Lord can win by many or by few. There were 2 against 20. And the 20 had the high position. Didn't make any difference. When God was added to the equation, it was a victory. And when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. This is in the enemy's camp. He said, "I have had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed." Then his companion, they're just talking by the fire. Then his companion answered and said, "This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, the man of Israel. Into his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp." How in the world is the majority going to be in fear? How in the world is the enemy going to be in fear and get kicked in the teeth by the army of God? It's because God is the best chess player there is. He can give a person that's in the enemy's camp a dream that will bring fear to the enemy's camp. He's powerful. He's mighty. And then send us down as spies and we'll hear how fearful those in the enemy's camp are. Those that need rescued are. They'll be extremely fearful of the onslaught of the gospel. And then they will bend their knee to the mighty commander, Jesus. That's what we're going to see in this next season. Do you want to be part of that? You have to be serious about being one of the 300. And so it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation that he worshiped. Finally, Gideon is convinced. How do we know? He's worshiping rather than doubting. He's worshiping rather than being in unbelief. He's worshiping rather than letting his mouth run. That he has a better plan. That he is too fearful to strike out in God's plan. Whatever's going on, he stops his mouth except to worship. He holds his tongue except to worship. Let's all get there. We did that this morning. We broke through another barrier to worship. We broke through that today. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, now this is what's so great. Now Gideon is really into this. Full of the fear of the Lord, full of the fire of the Lord, full of the faith of the Lord. Arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand. Then he divided the 300 men into three companies, 100 in each company. And he put a trumpet into every man's hand. These are his weapons, a trumpet, and empty pitchers, and torches inside the pitchers. What are the pitchers for? Just to kind of keep the light inside until it's going to be unleashed on the enemy. And he said to them, look at me and do likewise. Watch. And when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. Follow the leaders that are in faith, that have been filled with the courage of the Lord. Be an armor bearer. Be an armor bearer. Then I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me. Then you will also blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. What was the sword of the Lord? The blowing of the trumpets in further worship. The blowing of the trumpets. The battle is won. The blowing of the trumpets and breaking open the light of the gospel. That's what brought the victory. That's what their weapons were. They didn't have any real swords. They didn't have any real spears. They probably ran over the hill without armor so they could run very freely. So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch, and they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers, and they held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and Gideon, and of Gideon. And every man stood in his place all around the camp. And the whole army ran and cried out and fled.
Yes, Lord.
Then the 300 blew the trumpets.
Come on.
The Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp. The warriors in fear turned on each other and cut each other to pieces as the trumpets were blown. And the army fled to Beth Acacia toward Zararath, as far as the border of Abel Meholah by Taba. And the men of Israel gathered together from Naphtali, Asher, and Manasseh and pursued the Midianites. They ran. And then Gideon sent messengers throughout all the mountains of Ephraim saying, come down against the Midianites. Join the army. Come on. We've got the victory. We've won the battle. Yeah. The Lord has done it. The Lord has done it. The Lord has done it. And seized from the watering places as far as Beth Barah and the Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered together and seized the watering places as far as Beth Barah and Jordan. And they captured the two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb. They killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb, and Zeb they killed at the winepress of Zeb, right in their own safe place. They defeated the enemy. What the enemy thought was a safe place, they went right there and took care of business. They pursued Midian and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side of the Jordan. The Lord won the battle through his courageous warrior that he built courage into. He gave courage to. He brought the fear of the Lord to his heart to receive that courage. Just like he did with Joshua. Just like he did with Caleb. He did it inside of Gideon as well. We can be of that army. We can receive that fear of the Lord. We can be turned into amazing warriors for the Lord God as the Holy Spirit gives us that courage. Amen?
Just a reminder as we close in worship here from this powerful word to join us on Tuesday, whether on Instagram or Facebook. I really encourage you guys just to tune in, share this video. It's such a powerful message for the season that we're in. I really believe that it broke open something new in the Spirit. So today, let's share it, release it, and we'll see you on Tuesday.
thank you for listening. If you need any additional information about Frontline Ministries International or Frontline Worship Center, you can visit us on the web at www.frontline-ministries.org or email us at info@frontline-ministries.org. Or you can contact us by phone at area code 330-837-8399.